I'd like to call. I always have to hit the got it. This is the Environmental Services Advisory Committee, Subcommittee on Waste Diversion Collections and Education, August 7th, 2024. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. And so, Margot, you're here, right?
I'm here, yes.
Doug? Present.
Here.
And Trevor.
Also here.
Okay, we just have to hear your voices because of the recording. And Chris Yarder, I'm here. So I guess you're up. Trevor, anything exciting going on after the rush of students leaving? They're all coming back.
They are, which is more terrifying than them leaving. there are already some students coming back to campus. I started noticing it this week. RAs or resident assistants start moving in next week, if they're not already, and then the true rush begins. But unfortunately, I don't have updated numbers. We haven't been able to get anything updated from I'm forgetting the name, Suburban Miners or Waste Management, who handles the vast majority of the landfill. We're still waiting on those numbers. Once I have them, I will give them. But in terms of our move out and how we did there, I don't have anything new from what we had in June.
That's okay. Well, we'll let you off the hook.
Thank
Everybody,
you.
Everybody's has been doing summer, so
yeah,
that's how it works. Okay, let's move on to item three for the Hefty Renew program. And Christine, I watched you at
yes.
Ward six, and you did a great job, but there's this same old grumpy people, so you did a good job.
Well, it definitely worked out better, not having people in the room and then people online. That was just kind of, I don't think anybody expected that turnout, that first one. But we did have 145 people on the second one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So that was the virtual town hall we did a couple of weeks ago. Brittany said that you all had questions and wanted to know more about the Hefty Renew. So,
well, Fred did, but he's not here.
Oh, okay. Well,
Doug, do you have any questions, or Margot, Trevor?
I guess one is, how is it going since I just got back into town last night?
Well, people are buying the bags because they're having a hard time finding them. Especially like at the Midtown Walmart, the one at Elkhorn. But the other like Walmart neighborhood markets that are a little bit further out, like the one by my house and stuff, they have them.
I get mine from Target online. They deliver, you know.
Yeah, and Target is actually starting to have them in the store.
Oh, good.
But we were expecting that to happen not till April of next year, but they've already had them. And then Bash's has them.
Oh, good.
So you know, the Hefty people are working on, you know, they have really good relationships with like Kroger and Walmart and Target. But then they're, you know, trying to get more local outlets. So I know they're trying to talk to some of the Ace Hardwares and Bash's was, you know, when they were able to get on board. So they
Ace
are available. We're still seeing people put stuff in them loose. We're going to make a couple of changes to the signage. That it just basically says, you know, Hefty Renew bags only. We're still getting people saying, why do I have to buy more plastic to, recycle? And actually, Brittany made a very good point that, our ultimate goal is for these to be able to be put in your blue bin. And when that happens and they go to the MRF, having them in that orange bag will make it easy to pull them off, so they can be easily recognizable, because other plastic bags at the MRF are just going to get thrown away. And so, the purchase of those bags supports the program, because currently the city, we've been paying for the processing and the storage of the materials, and it's a very significant cost. And, we're basically going to tell Friedman, we're only, anything that's not in the orange bag, we're going to need to landfill. And Hefty assumes the processing cost and the transportation cost.
So you're getting across, people aren't as grumpy as they were, right?
There's always going to be a few, and those are the ones you hear from.
I think the one thing that I kind of wish, that I know other people wish, is that those Hefty bags were a little bigger. Because
Yeah,
when you
they're
start putting
awful.
in styrofoam, just even the little square pieces and stuff, they fill it up pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, they were really intended for those film, those plastic packaging, like candy wrappers and potato chip bags and, things like that. And they're 13 gallon, and I mean, people I know that have been using them, it takes about 3 weeks to fill it.
Really?
Oh,
Yeah.
well,
I
I'm
fill it about 2 days.
filling two. I fill two every 2 weeks, week 1 week. So,
That you're putting, are you putting rigid plastics in there?
no, it's just all, there's a lot of film,
Yes, there is.
everywhere you look, on packaging. So,
Well, and I do put the plastic, like produce bags and stuff. So I've stopped going so much back to the grocery store. So I may have to add that back in. It just starts to get to be an awful lot of sorting. I mean, you've got plastic film bags to the grocery store. I had gotten lazy and started putting them all in the bag. And
right.
there's no question about, like, the berries when they come in those plastic clams or, plastic containers.
Those go in the blue bin.
Yeah.
Those go in the blue barrel.
Yeah.
Okay. And, the cups and straws had been going in the
So, like, my what I do is, if it's a cup, like a drink cup for from I get a lot of them from Dutch Brothers or Starbucks, the clear cups. I put those in the blue bin. I just the only thing I don't put in would be the lids, just because they're too small. Because those are number ones. And yeah, I mean,
And you can stack them too.
yeah. But, and I mean, there's, we fill up our blue bin every 2 weeks. It's always full.
Yeah.
And I don't buy, like, water bottles or anything like that.
No, we don't either.
Mostly boxes and aluminum cans.
Oh, any other
Okay.
questions, you guys?
So I what the message to me is that we need to work on the nuances of the ref of the messaging. So maybe on those orange, as I say, I haven't been since the 1st of July, is what you can put back in the blue barrels. So fruit baskets. If you buy fruit from Trader Joe's, it's in one of those things with each plum in its own thing, a
Right.
little that can go in the blue barrel.
So we've updated the signage on the orange bins, and then right now we're working on our website. We're gonna do something different. We actually looked at the city of Boise because they're one of the hefty renew cities. And they have a really nice a website about recycling, like a where does it go, what goes where type thing. It's really comprehensive. And so we like the idea and we want to kind of model it after that. I could share my screen. I could even show you real quick and get your thoughts, but
Well, you pulled that up, Christina. What were the updates associated with that first town hall meeting? What happened there? I didn't catch that.
Oh, the first town hall was a hybrid, and there were about 100 people in the building, and there wasn't enough room, so they were like going into other rooms. And then there were about 200 people on the Zoom part of it,
Oh, wow.
and they couldn't hear. It just wasn't the best setup.
Got it. Okay. Sorry to hear that. Glad the second one went better.
Oh yeah, it did. It
Did you
was
have the
only virtual, and we had all sorts of people. So this is the website. And if you go down, it says all. And so it has all these, different things, and I think it's pretty comprehensive. So you can look at all these different things. And then when you click on something, it gives you tips like how to reduce and reuse. And I just really liked the look of it, because it's a lot of stuff we get asked about, but
Yeah, the CDs.
so that they would, so this would be something you'd have to throw in the trash, but it gives you an idea of what you could do just instead of throwing away.
Cool. I think that looks really nice.
Yeah. So we're working on that. And the plan is to, once that's done, we will, and we can include like compost stuff on here too, which would be great because we still get a lot of questions about that. But we're going to roll this out, and when we do, we're actually going to do like another virtual town hall just about recycling and waste diversion and all the different things, because there's just always so many questions about, what do I do with this? Do I have to take off the little plastic window on the envelopes?
Or the
And
la yeah, the labels and
yeah, so I'm hoping we're going to be able to do that in like late September to get the website up. But it's, yeah.
ammunition.
Huh?
The last thing I saw,
Oh,
ammo.
trust me, it does. We've had it.
Okay.
Had it. And I mean, there's just so many things we're having issues with, like the lithium ion batteries are just, they're a big problem nationally for solid waste operations, MRFs, landfills. They're starting fires. So, there's always something. But yeah, so hefty, I think given the people that want to support the Bifusion project, and this, it was just too much and a lot of the wrong material.
Well, cutting out the commercial was great because I did argue with one person about auto parts, plastic auto parts, and I said, no.
Well,
So in
yeah.
the and it's different chemistry for a lot of those plastics.
Yeah, it is. And you know, this is I'm sure Doug could comment on it, but you know, people hear plastic and they don't read the list. They just, oh, it's plastic. I'm going to throw this in there, and that's why they get
Car bumpers.
yeah.
That one really got me. So, geez.
And, you know, I mean, the person that brought the 4,300 pounds of the PVC sheets. You know, and what kills me about that, because I saw them, they were just white sheets, like 11 by 17, but they were plastic. But they were clean until, of course, they got mixed up. But like a school would have loved a donation of that,
It's true.
because they could have had kids, you know, do all sorts of things with it. But you know, instead it's gonna end up at the landfill.
Well, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. You're very patient with people. So item four, I guess we're going to go over the MIRTH report for, under waste diversion.
So it looks like we sent you the wrong one.
Let's see, I printed out the compare, the one that comparing 24 to 23 and then May 2024.
I didn't see that one on my list of things. I don't know if Brittany has it and she could pull it up.
It says draft on it.
Let me get my folder here, sorry.
But then I just had the. Is that the same with all of you? Did you just see the
Oh,
main?
here's Jude and May. Okay, I've got it. So, no, he did just a small thing on the May and June, but it was mostly about the whole fiscal year.
Yeah, that's the comparing 24
Yes.
and 23.
I did not see the other one. I think
The
Ernesto
June
probably
one.
did too, but he didn't complete. Because here it says May, June, but then the other part says 2023-24.
Christina, what I have on my screen, is that correct or is that the wrong file?
That's not the right information.
Okay.
I
All
mean,
right.
it's not the comparison of the two
Month to
months.
month. Yeah.
It's more of a comparison of the last fiscal years. But I mean, that's good information to be able to see that. We keep saying that we're seeing downward trends, but if you look at this, we're really not.
You mean downward trends in terms of
In
people
terms of
recycling or
tonnages, yeah.
tonnages? Okay.
So the OCC was up, the ONP, aluminum, tin was down, other metals, but that's probably okay. The ET bottles, the plastics down. See that pretty clearly. So,
Well, maybe people aren't buying their water in plastic bottles anymore.
ha ha ha.
Always. We could always hope, huh?
Well, I think, unfortunately, probably some of that was, kind of due to the orange bins, but not much. I mean, it's not like everybody was doing it, but we did see a lot of HDPE of those.
I always tell people what I remember you telling me a long time ago, the group, is that there's more plastic in the lid than there is in the bottle. So I always tell people to make sure they put the lid on.
Well, yeah, you put the lid back on and, then it will get recycled. But if you put the caps into your blue bin loose, they're going to end up in the trash.
Yeah.
So, but commodity prices, have been higher. So, except for that HDPE, but yeah, I mean, your markets have been really good.
What's the bottom line since I don't have it up? How much did we pay this last month?
Well, see, that's the thing I don't have. Ernesto did not give me that. He just did the comparison of the two fiscal years. So.
So we don't know.
We
I'd
don't
have.
have
I
June.
can let me. I can look at it. But I just.
Margo, the bottom line for fiscal year 23 to 24 is we paid almost $500,000 less in fiscal year 24 because we received a lot more rebates on the material that we sent to the
Okay.
MRF.
So higher prices.
Higher prices helped. We did have higher tonnage and paid a lot more in tipping fees, but yeah, it was offset by higher commodity prices.
So
Thank
in
you.
June, we paid the MRF $44,398.
Okay. Well, Brittany, can you send us the MRF report for full ESAC tomorrow?
I have asked Ernesto to make sure I get the most updated report. So, yes.
Okay. All right.
Right.
We turned
All right,
halfway.
thanks. So moving on to item five, code enforcement update. And I see you there, Lori.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I have three updates for the meeting. First of all, Martin Lopez, who's our temporary inspection supervisor, is on the call as well. And I'll have him go ahead and introduce himself. Not working out real well, but.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Martini. Maybe mute that, Martini. Okay. Well, that was Martine.
And he's taking over the supervisory position for code enforcement.
Yeah, he's acting inspection supervisor. I'm still an inspection supervisor, but I'm temporarily helming the vans, the enhanced vans process, which is the vacant and neglected properties program, and the new mayor and council approved lien foreclosure program. So that's still, we're working towards full implementation. It's going to take a while. We have to create databases of our liens, and but I've sent out, I think at this point, three letters of an intent to foreclose. So that's the beginning part of the process. So I'll give you guys further updates on how those go I believe I've said at a prior meeting that we've had one test case. So these are three new cases that we're going to use that process that we've learned. And hopefully it won't take as long. It took up to 2 years before we completed that process. And I do not believe it will take that long.
Is this going through city court? Is this going to Judge Simone or?
No. If we take this through a court process, you know, where someone doesn't pay off the liens when we issue the demand letter, we'll probably use the city attorney's office, and it might be filed in Superior Court, but or we might even hire outside counsel. It just depends on the situation. So,
okay. I'm just relieved that it's not going to get stuck in.
Yeah, it won't be city court civil infraction. It'll be separate. And then the last update is we're actively going through a recruitment process. And hopefully we'll fill 5 positions. So we're right in the middle of it right now, reviewing resumes and applications. It closed on Sunday, and I think we had 57 people apply. So I hope that we get, we're able to get a good group of people and bring them on board.
Someone's talking. Me too. I do too, Lori, because we're, mm-hmm. you know, there's still cases in Garden District that
mm-hmm.
haven't been closed. And of course, the weed issue is a problem. And right. In our neighborhood, you know, we're dealing with a lot of the noxious weeds, which are, you know, getting pretty bad these days. Buffalo grass, Bermuda grass.
Right, yeah.
Stinkweed or whatever that.
Oh, yeah. The
yellow flowered one is just all over. And we just really need to get these absentee landlords to clean these up right away before they go to seed.
Yeah, well, once we get these 5 people trained, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a couple of retirements, so this will replace that and also fill 2 positions because we have 2 people who moved into the VANS program. They're still doing their caseload more or less right now, but we need to backfill those. So the 5 inspector positions, that's part of that.
Can I ask you a real quick question? I'm sorry to be just taking this over, but with the VANS program, if there's a for sale sign on a building that's vacant and neglected, does that give the person who owns the property more time? How do you handle that? Because that speedy mark, at 1204 North Alvernon has just been a haven for homeless, graffiti. Somebody dumped like giant, huge truck tires behind it. And it's got the for sale signs. And they're asking like $400,000 for that old little teeny tiny lot that I don't think anybody's going to jump at, but.
Well, if it's in VANS or any type of code enforcement case, you know, being for sale doesn't alleviate the current owner for abating the violations. But in the case of VANS, we move forward with our case. If it does happen to get sold, we have we usually get contacted by a title company to see if there's any outstanding city liens for abatement. And then at that time we let them know, hey, the new owner will have to take responsibility for the existing violations. And we actually have a form that says exactly that assumption of responsibility, and we have them notarize it. And then we will record a release of the notice. And then just move forward with a new owner because you have to, you know, you can't stop the sale, but. And sometimes it's for the better. In most cases, it's for the better. You know, by the mere fact of putting it in vans, issuing a notice is enough sometimes to prompt the owner to sell it to someone who is going to do something.
Okay. And that doesn't count towards like old trailers in old trailer courts, right?
I mean, I'm just thinking back to whether we've ever done that. You know, I used to do vans quite a few years ago, and it might just depends on the situation. You know,
some of them have been boarded up for a long time.
You know, they're a little different. Like legally, they're classified as personal property, I think, or they're taxed that way. You know, because it's a living unit or dwelling unit, but it's also mobile. It's on a chassis, so it. I'd have to get back to you on that answer.
Okay. Well, you know, we have those old trailer parks on Columbus that are always kind of a nuisance. So, all right. Thanks. I'm done with. Sorry, I missed you last month.
Well, thank you.
All right. Okay, let's move on to item six for the Los Reales Sustainability Campus. And Frank, is that going to be you? Or there you are.
It is. So okay. The first item that I have is the Bifusion update.
All right.
At this point, just wanted to let everyone know that all the bids came in for the Bifusion building out here at the Los Reales campus. BFL construction has been selected. In the total for that construction is going to be approximately $3.4 million.
That's what Carlos thought a while ago, that it was going to be that much.
And so BFL, they were the low bid.
Wow.
Of course, some of the bids came in higher. So currently, we don't have a start yet. But I'm assuming and hoping that it's going to be within the next 4 weeks once the contracts are signed and completed. We are currently prepping on our side because we have to move our recycling area. We have to move our tires, our metal recycling, and our neighborhood recycling containers too. We'll be ready for by the time that the construction starts. In fact, we should be moved out of the location within the next couple of weeks. And that's just on-site work that we have to do because we don't necessarily have enough area that we, before the construction, to be able to just move everything immediately. So we've already cleared an area. We've laid down millings. And so all the initial prep work is completed.
Hey, Frank?
Yes.
So where is the Bifusion building going? Is that on the west side of the scales at the entrance?
Yes. So if you're familiar with the scales, where they're located, and just west of the scales, on the north side, we've got the HSW facility. Then the Bifusion is going to be just north of HSW, but it's still west of the scales.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
I think we've gone over the designs in the past. I don't have anything to show you at this point, but we can bring something up later. Here we go. Brittany's always prepared.
There she goes. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So you can see there, we've got the scales. And just west of the scales is where we currently have our recycling bin, bins. And
Gotcha.
all of that is moving just further west in that general area.
It's a good spot for it. Okay.
Any other questions for Frank? No? Okay, what's next? It's the green waste diversion.
And so quickly, just I don't have a whole lot of update. I just wanted to let everyone know that this past week, starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we had our grinder on site to grind the green waste that we've been diverting from the working phase. They were here for 3 days, and they ground a total of about 450 to 500 tons of green waste. I don't have an exact total yet because we're still in the process of making sure that we weigh everything. I believe at the last meeting I mentioned that part of the reason we were bringing them in was because we were running low on ground material to be to continue the composting. So we're basically just back on track. If you remember the big storm that we had, what is it, about 4 weeks ago now? So right after that, we had, in 1 week, we doubled the amount of green waste that we were diverting for 3 months prior to that. So it went quick. And a lot of it was because of all the tree damage around town. So a lot of that green waste came in, and it came in fairly clean from just landscapers and saw haulers bringing in all the damaged trees that went down.
So, Frank, we were able to divert a good amount of that the waste from the storm damage.
Oh, definitely. Like I mentioned, in 1 week, we doubled the amount that we had been saving or putting aside for almost 3 months.
Okay. That's really great to hear. I remember monsoon season last year, we didn't have as big of a storm, but I remember there was a big storm and we weren't able to divert that waste. So that's a really some really exciting progress.
Yeah, so it's really great that we instituted our green waste diversion. So for events like these, we're able to make sure that it doesn't just get filled in.
And if you drive around and see the trees that were all blown over, they were improperly pruned. So they were all lion-tailed, and it's just kills trees. So anyhow.
They were kind of set up for failure at that point. Unfortunate.
Yeah, it's sad all over town. Okay. Anything else for Frank? All right. Thank you.
Course.
Thank you for working in the hot weather outside. Okay. Item seven for public outreach update. And this is the summer outreach recap. And that's you, Christina, or anyone else?
Me.
Okay.
So we thought it was going to be kind of a quiet summer because, summer. But we did like three different back to school bash events. And we've had, food cycle training all throughout the summer, as well as the compost tumbler trainings. So we've been pretty busy. Just, I would say, probably 75% of the weekends we were doing something.
Wow.
Yeah, just doesn't slow down.
Well, guess it's keeping stuff out of the landfill. But there goes your
Well,
weekend.
yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But Yeah, we had several of those back to school bash events, and Steve's been really busy with cleanups, even though he planned to not do them during the summer, and it's just been very busy.
Okay. Let's move on to collections. And is this Jose, is that you or?
Yes, ma'am. I'm
There
hold on
you
just
are
one second.
for the Friday reroute and the equipment update and the homeless protocol.
Yes, so for the homeless, well, not for the homeless, we're gonna go with the refuse route. On July 10th, we added three refuse routes that were added to the Friday routes. The department notified residents with postcards, you know, letting them know that we were gonna be, you know, start maybe new start times when because a lot of people are used to, you know, a certain time, a certain garbage truck getting, you know, getting to the house. So we notified the public, letting them know that, you know, that we were gonna be running things differently and to make sure that the containers were set out by 6 a.m. With the added routes, we're able to complete at a decent time. I know before when we were running, you know, those minus those three routes, whenever it came down to breakdowns or just some of the routes were, you know, were pretty heavy. And then the expansion of new homes it was causing us to, you know, to get off late. So, you know, a lot of times we were clocking out anywhere from 4:30 to 6 o'clock, and it also depends on the breakdowns. But we were, you know, adding these routes, you know, we were able to cut them down to from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. You know, our goal is hopefully from 4 to 4:30, you know, to have everybody out of the shop on Friday. So far, I mean, we haven't heard in much any negative feedback or anything from the public. You know, I think we did a pretty good job of notifying the residents, and we haven't had any negative feedback from anybody.
Good.
Equipment update. I'm sorry about this. I probably didn't. Well, I didn't repair that. You know, they're very well with it, but just, you know, some of the things that I do know. I was on vacation. I was, you know, catching up on emails and all that good stuff. But the EV side loader. It's up in Phoenix right now. We did send that unit out. That's going to be the electric side loader. We did send it out so they can showcase it over in Vegas. It was out there for a couple of weeks, and I guess on the way back, you know, that we had some electric. They had some electrical issues, so it's up in Phoenix right now. That's something that they're working on. We haven't had a date of exactly when we're going to be receiving it, but we are preparing here at the yard, you know, with the EV connections and, you know, especially with the now that we have more of the electrical pickup trucks, you know, we're adding more of the of electrical outlets so we can charge the vehicles. Think
Nice.
Brittany has a couple of pictures of it. As soon as we get it in, I'll make sure that, you know, I have videos for you guys next ESAC meeting. I'll have videos if we have it, if it's here already, you know, I'll make sure that I have videos of it so you guys can see how quiet it is. It won't wake you guys up in the morning.
But that's when I run and put my cans out.
Yeah.
Once we take ownership of it, are we going to like do some graphics on the site or anything to advertise it as EV?
You know, I think these pictures that Brittany has, it does. We do have some other graphics on it. Christina, I think you might be able to answer on that. I think, you know, it has a couple of information. I believe it's going to be on the recycling, but I'm not sure. But we do have new stickers on it. Can you verify that, Christina? What I can't remember exactly what they were.
So we are, and we let me see if I could ask Brittany to find it because she has newest artwork, but so do I. So let me see if I can pull
And while she's looking that up, I know that we do have a couple of side loaders. I think we have 8 side loaders, and I'll get you guys that correct number. I didn't prepare myself, but the last one we have 8 side loaders that are being built, front loads. They should be finishing those up. I don't have a exact date when they're going to be coming in. Rear loads, we do have those. We just received them today, as a matter of fact. We have those units in. When we first received them, we had no steps. We had nowhere where the helpers can stand in the back. I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen the brush and bulky. You have the workers that, you know, that hang out in the back, you know, when they're moving from pile to pile. So those are things that that we're missing. So now they've been added, and we just received those trucks today. And then the food waste truck, I'll next time when on ESAC meeting, I'll make sure that I have a, you know, exact date of what they're looking at when we should be receiving that food waste truck. We do have another, just which is the chassis. We do have it here. So as soon as we receive that first food waste truck, we're going to go ahead and send that other one so they can start working on it.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah. We saw the pictures. Now we're seeing
email.
Oh, okay. Then that's not what I wanted to show you. The truck up.
Oh, we saw the scorpion.
Okay.
No, but the artwork.
Oh, the artwork.
I had it up. Oh. I guess it just didn't load correctly. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me download it. Christina is on top of this one, I guess. I will pass this along for her since I'm having trouble. No one wants to see my email.
We do. So here's the first one.
Nice.
And they will be in English and Spanish. And then this is the other one. So we have to make a decision.
They look pretty similar. Are you going to pick between the two?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I kind of like this one, but
yeah, bigger.
I like both of them. I mean,
cool.
Yeah, once it arrives, we have a lot of testing to do with it. So we're going to see how it works out for us here in Tucson. Hopefully, you know, it shouldn't be too bad. I know that other cities are using them, but we'll find out here with the hot sun.
Well, you could always run it down the Christmas parade with lights on it. To showcase it to everybody downtown.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. Next up is the homeless protocol.
Okay, let me it says I'm trying to share my screen so that way I got a couple of pictures for you guys to see over here. So
yeah, they have a PowerPoint.
Let me give you permissions. All right. Jose, you are officially a co-host.
Okay. Can you guys see that?
No.
Okay, hold on, share.
Oh, hey, there it goes. Okay, good. That's what they're showing mayor and council today.
Yes, yeah. Perfect. And Carlos and I, we worked on that. You know, he had a couple of questions. Ever since the encampment protocol kicked off, we ever since it kicked off, you know, we had at the time we had the inmates working with us, and in 2018, yeah. The homeless camp cleanups crews were established. 2 crews were formed, consisting of 1 full-time supervisor and 2 full-time employees with 8 DOCs. Since then, you know, when COVID hit, we lost, you know, the inmates. So, you know, it was one of those things that we had to come up with a new solution as employees. How are we going to fund it and all that good stuff? So in 2022, we were asked to expand it. So We added additional personnel, was added. We have 5 full-time equipment operators that are actually on the encampment protocol. And then with 10 additional full-time employees, that includes ESWs, the workers. So we had operators and the ESWs that were working out there with us, or that are working out there with us. Some of the equipment that we had to purchase, and we had that skid steer, but now with that skid steer, if you see the wheels on it, now we have, it almost looks like a tank. It has tracks on it. So a lot of these in camps, some of the camps, you know, they're this skid steer that you see on this picture, we could only do so much with it. You know, when it comes to sand, sometimes it was getting stuck. We you know, it would dig in into the sand, even though it's four-wheel drive, but we couldn't, sometimes it would get stuck and trying to get the that equipment. So I thought I had a picture of it in here, but yeah, we bought 3 of them, excuse me, with tracks. So now we're able to, you know, go in, and we haven't had any major issues getting into some of these encampments. We did have to purchase specialized transports in order to transport the skid steers, the rear loads. We had to also purchase a couple of rear loads. Over the years, you know, we have been using them for the brush and bulky, but once we, you know, the homeless protocol kicked off, we had to buy a couple of rear loaders. Tools, you know, tools, we're still using the same tools. There are some special tools that we have to have out there in order to for our employees to get the job done. Some of the funding sources here, and right now, in 2022, 23, 24, ES, if you can see here, has, you know, it takes the brunt of it. We're the ones that are, you know, putting the most of the money. We did receive some ARPA funds. That's for the government. You know, they sent us some ARPA funds that we use, you know, to buy tools, anything that we needed for the homeless camps. The general fund, you know, they're providing us some money also. Also, the Department of Housing grant, we got a grant through them also. So then when we go to the next to it, it's going to be the span category. This is where, you know, personnel, you know, we're funded, you know, 51%. That's where, you know, majority of the money is going, paying for the personnel, vehicles, 8%, the homeless work program. The homeless work program has been helping us a lot with a lot of these tier ones. And a tier one camp is going to be a camp that's, when they go out there, you know, they'll just go out there, and people report a tier one, and some there might be people that out there, or there might not be, you know. So it's one of those things that they got to go out there, and the homeless work programs helps us out, and you know, we've been funding them since we started the homeless protocol. February 2023 to July 2023. We did 1,162 cleanups. Doesn't mean that they were evicted. Those were just cleanups that we did out there. We do have, you know, like I said, there was a couple of ones that, you know, that were, we had to move out of there. August of 23 to June of 2004, we cleaned up 371 tier one homeless protocol, I mean, homeless camps, tier twos, 461, tier threes, 761, and the immediate removal, which is 183. That's how many cleanups we've done since August of 23 to 24. We still keep receiving a lot of these homeless camps, and we receive 43 encampment cleanups requests per week.
Wow.
The tier one, just to kind of give you guys an idea, so this is, you know, there used to be a camp here that was at this location, and you know, they were removed, or either they left. So when we go out there, you know, we clean the area up, make sure that it's all cleaned up. So we gave you a before and after picture of what it looks like when these guys go out there and clean up. Tier twos, with the tier twos, usually what happens is, people are they're out there, but we clean around them until they can get help, until we can get the resources to go out there and ask them for help. So they're able to stay when it's the tier two, they're able to stay out there until we can find them help. And then, but we do clean up around them. You know, sometimes they make a big mess. If you notice, you know, we have the camps, but then the mess, they leave, you know, and then afterwards, what we clean up after, you know, they're still there. This cleanup, you know, just to kind of show you guys of what we do, this cleanup is over on by I-10 and Prince area. And these are the type of cleanups. You know, this was a pretty, it was a tier three. This is for removal. This is right before we, the monsoon got here. So we did a lot of culverts, a lot of arroyos that we need to go out there, you know, because the people go down. And so we have to remove them before the monsoon hits. And this is one of them that, you know, the before and after pictures.
So you go actually go inside?
Yes. Yeah, we try to, yeah. And that's the thing with this kitchen, you're not able to see it, but we do go down. And we do, you know, sometimes like this bridge here that you're looking at, it's a bridge, it's a tunnel that goes under the I-10. But we only go so far, you know, when it starts to go any deeper, you know, then where you basically you can't see light, it's like, no, okay, come back. You know, we're looking for the safety for our employees.
Are you wearing masks when you go into
places? Oh, yes. Yeah.
All the time. Oh, good.
Yes. Yeah. But yes.
Wow.
Some of the challenges that we encountered when it came to the, you know, the safety concern of our employees, making sure that, you know, we're, you know, tailgating before we do a cleanup. And, you know, we might have needles out there. We might have, you know, somebody that's out there that doesn't want to leave. You know, we do get a lot of participation from the police department, from Tucson Fire. They'll go out there and they'll help us out. But one of the things that we, you know, is at the beginning was the limited resources. You know, we all got together as a city, you know, city, one team, we all got together. And, you know, so now we have TPD, we have Tucson Fire that's out there with us. We have people who make contact with the, to offer them help. So there's a lot of people that are involved and, you know, it's trying to get everybody together at the same time. I'm not sure if you guys heard, but the 100 acres that's going to be off of Golf Links and Swan, you know, we, you know, in our department, on our side, we had 28 employees that were out there, and we managed to get it not all cleaned up, because if you still pass by there, there's two, you know, everything with that 100 acre was divided into three sections. So we got the north side of the arroyo. There's an arroyo there at that location. So we were able to get all that cleaned up. Here in the future, we are looking at getting everything else cleaned up, but we're doing it by sections. And in the meantime, you know, we do have people that are going out there and making contact, offering them help to make sure that, you know, they're able to get them housing. Further expansion, we will be, you know, we are still trying to recruit. You know, we had a recruitment about a month ago. We had 82 applicants, but out of those 82, a lot of them were screened away. They didn't have a CDL or they didn't meet the criteria for the recruitment. We do have 16 that are eligible right now. So we're just sending them out the notices to see if they want to work for the city of Tucson. Hopefully here in the next month, you know, they come on board. So it looks pretty good for us, but we'll see once they get those job offers.
Wow.
Okay. I think, yeah, that's all the ones that I have. Is there any questions? I know that Carlos was going to go on with mayor and council and kind of give the presentation too, but do you guys have any questions, anything with the encampments or?
Yeah. How many calls a week did you say you got, Jose? Was it a day or a week?
It was 42 per week. 42 cleanup requests are per week.
Every week?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, as a matter of fact, before huge. I forget, let me open this up also. So that way you guys can kind of see. Let me share it again. Share. So one of the things that we created when doing these encampments, we had to keep track of them. How do we keep track of them? So, you know, with the, working with IT and you know, our operators, TPD, the screen that, I don't know if you're able, are you able to see the screen with a bunch of dots?
Those are
either cleanups that we've done in the past, but this is citywide of places that we've been cleaned up or, you know, are still pending. Those are all the spots that we, you know, every little dot is a request that was done and, you know, either cleaned up. But if you zoom in, you know, they're from far away, but if you zoom in, you know, you can just see like here, Speedway off of I-10. These are all the cleanups that we've done in the past or pending. And we've even gotten to the point where, you know, we've gone out of city limits where we assisted. I think that this one that's up here, it was a water well, being that it's, let me see, yeah, it was a city limits. Yeah, we assisted Pima County, and then it was a water well that we have out there. So we do work with Pima County whenever they need the help, and we'll go out there and try to help them out as much as we can. But I just thought I'd bring this one up, kind of give you guys a overview of, you know, what it looks like throughout the whole city of all the encampments that we've, you know, that we've cleaned up.
Wow. Big job. And,
like I said, for next, I'll better prepare myself and hopefully I can have a better with the equipment, what the exact dates are, what they're looking at. So when we receive those the new units.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Okay. Let's move on to item 9 for future agenda. Margo, you got some ideas? Can't hear you. Okay. Anyone else?
It looks like Margo's trying to unmute.
Yeah.
But when is our next meeting on September 4th? Yeah.
First Wednesday. Is that too close to?
There I'm unmuted. The question I had for Jose was, how many of those areas are repeat? In other words, they go in, clean it up, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, a month later, it's inhabited again.
On some of them, we do repeatedly go back. I can, maybe next meeting, I can give you that. But we do, you know, when it's a tier two, we usually go back like every 2 weeks. We go back every 2 weeks and clean them up until they get help or we're able to remove them. But we do them repeatedly. You know, right now we're just short on housing. So, but we do go back multiple times.
I would think so. But even at tier three, I would suspect, I mean, that area you mentioned over by Swan and Golf Links, I mean, that's been inhabited for a long time.
Yeah,
it seems to me you've cleaned it up before and it's such a great place. They just come back.
Swan and Golf Links. Let me pull that up and maybe I can, if there's a specific one, Swan, Cole. Maybe I can. Oh, okay. And is that the one that, are you talking about the 100 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a dirt bike place.
Yes. On that one, what we're doing, let me pull the map out so that way you guys can have a better idea of, let me share my screen with you guys one more time. Right. Can you guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a whole 100 acres. And it's like the one that you were talking about from Swan to Golfing. This is considered the 100 acres. So what we did, a couple of months ago, anything that was, because this is an arroyo. When you go in there, it's an arroyo that it's, you know, that runs through here. And all these are just full of encampments out here. So what we did when we came over here and we worked and we cleared out all these people that are north of where the green part is, all this part we cleaned up. There's no camps. There's nothing in there. TPD is constantly going back there to make sure that nobody is camping out. The Davis Mountain, they had to do sample testing in there. There's a couple of water wells, I believe, that they had to go in there and test the water. But everything that's on the north side of this green here, we took care of. So what we're a lot of, you know, what happened that time, a lot of the camps, instead of, you know, moving now, they moved to the south side. So here in the future, it's going to happen pretty soon. We're going to clear out this whole section here. This whole section is going to be cleared out. And then this section is going to be the last section that we clear. But we did, like I said, on this section down here, we do go back there. On this one, we do go back weekly and we're cleaning, you know, the mess that's around us. We supply them with roll-offs. We supply them with 90 barrel containers or containers that they can use. Or, you know, sometimes we just go ahead and pile the garbage in certain locations and we'll go out there and we'll get that cleaned up.
Wow. Any other questions for Jose? Okay, thank you. Trevor, what were you saying about is the September 4th too close to Labor Day or?
No, for me, I was just getting an idea of when the next meeting is because I could have a potential future agenda item. I just don't know if it makes sense for September or October or later on. But my team and I have been working or communicating back and forth with Carlos to rework the intergovernmental agreement that Compost Cats has with City of Tucson and Environmental Services. And that rework is looking to combine the two residential composting programs we have. So Compost Cats has the bucket program, which we've been operating for almost 3 years, maybe a little over 3 years at this point. And that program has been monetized just because we don't have a lot of money here. It's been going really, really well. We have well over 600 participants and lots of diversion. And of course, the city has stood up the Food Cycle at Home program, which is also going really well, but is free. And sort of recognizing, for me, understanding if you have a free program and a paid program, that paid program isn't going to do very well long term. So we've been having conversations for a couple of months about what integrating those two programs will look like. And I think we're pretty much there. We'll still have to go to mayor and council to have that IGA approved, and there will still be a lot of logistics, especially with Christina and her team around the integration of her team and my team on what the integration of those two programs looks like. But it could be a discussion item, if not for September, then certainly for October or November.
Great. Okay. Anyone else have something they want to hear about?
I just want to add that with the Tumblr program, Trevor's staff has been great doing the training. You know, it's just been really good to have them there. They're just, you know, very knowledgeable and they're so friendly. And yeah, it's been a huge help.
Oh. Thank you. We owe you lots of thanks. Anything else for future agenda? Okay. Well, I think the last meeting we had went on and on, and it looks like this meeting we're going to get out early. So I think that works for everyone. No call to audience. And item 11, it's 4:12. And the meeting is adjourned. So, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Your rain dances.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye bye.
Bye.
See you tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
Right.